Oh, there we go. Here he is. Here's the man. See if I can call.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, man. What is up, Chris? How you doing?
That's good. How you doing, man?
Man, it's great to see you again, man.
You too. You too.
Yeah, last time I talked to you, we got kind of deep.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, time to get stupid now, man.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, well, first of all, excuse me for a moment. Let me, I got to bring my princess over here, the dog. I got this dog over here, and she wants to sit on my lap every time I do a stream. I know this dog got me bitch made, man, so I'm sorry about that.
Oh. The dog often breaks into my room while I'm shooting my reviews as well, and so we had to actually, like, I have to lock the door now when I film.
I thought you were going to say, so we had to, like, put her to sleep.
Huh? I thought that, too. I was like, we had to put her down. I was like, aw. I mean, it works, so.
Oh, but people, it's Chris Stuckman, everybody. You know Chris Stuckman, man. One of the most popular, not just most popular movie critics out there, not just most popular YouTuber out there, but one of the most popular personalities now. Everybody's beginning to know your name, sir.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'm flattered that people like looking at my face sometimes.
I see nothing but your face. I was just talking to the angry video game nerd the other day. And when I was doing that, I was like, man, every time I go to see my videos, I see your face more than mine.
Same with every in all of my videos and the related. It's your guys' stuff.
Okay. Well, good.
That's good.
Well, good. Well, I'm getting you back.
From what I understand, it also matters on what you watch, and it like makes suggestions based off of the stuff you watch too. And so like, I watch a lot of your guys' stuff, and so it's like, hey, you'd like this too. You'd like this too. You'd like this too. I don't know how it works, honestly. I actually have no idea how YouTube works.
I have no idea either, man. And
you know, it's refreshing that somebody admits that.
I know. I mean, more people are having to admit it now, because even YouTube has said, we don't know how we work. We don't know what the hell is going on. They told me.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. They sent me a newsletter out. And Chris, you might have got this, but they sent a newsletter out saying, you know what? Just stop trying to figure out the algorithm. We don't know. Just make videos. Just do what you do. If people do what you do and people will watch, because we don't know what the fuck is going on either. So
I have people who sometimes try to, they ask for my channel statistics, like my watch time spikes, where people start and consistently watch my videos, and they want me to send it to them so that, like, maybe for a sponsorship or something. And I can never find it. I don't even know where to find it. and so I had to, like, look up how to find that. So, yeah, I mean, it is, I have no idea how YouTube works. Not a clue.
No, me either, man. But I tell you, they love you, because every time I go to watch a video, your face is there. Every time I go to Rotten Tomatoes, now your face is there, top critic. I feel like you're stalking me, man. I'm getting tired of your face, man. I'm getting tired of your stupid face, Chris.
Me too. Nah. Me too. I edit my videos and I'm like, this idiot needs to shut up. Like, I can't even stand looking at myself anymore. Like, I'm just so ready to not see my face.
Yeah. No, man, I got to tell you, Chris.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah. No, Martin Thomas, Chris Stuckman. Chris Stuckman.
Nice to meet you, Chris. I've heard a lot of great things.
Thank you, sir.
I have to tell you, seriously, though, these people that you see with, you know, because I look at them and I look at them with all their fucking views and all their YouTube celebrity.
Million point two.
Millions of subscribers. And, you know, I bet that guy's an asshole. And then I talk to Chris Stuckman. Chris Stuckman, people, Chris is one of the nicest people that you could meet. After we were done with the interview when I was interviewing him the other day, we talked for about 45 minutes, man. And I felt bad, because I felt like I was holding him up. And he was just being very cool. You know, seriously, Chris, you were one of the kindest people I've met.
Thank you. I feel the same way about you guys. I've been trying to get in touch with all people for years in the Hollywood area for movie making and scripts and stuff. And sometimes you get like a vibe with people instantly, and you know, okay, maybe this person could help me out, but I'm going to, it's going to be a nightmare to work with this person. Oh. It's going to be a nightmare to get to know this person. Mm. And then I've met people who are just like regular people who just love this. They love movies. They love film. They love writing, whatever it might be. And they just want to be creative and talk, and they appreciate it's not like they're in it just to be famous or in it for the money or recognition. They just don't know what else to do. And yeah, this is all they know how to do. And those are the people that I gravitate towards the most.
Well, no, that's great to hear, man.
Yeah, you want people who aren't making money at it. You've come to the right place.
No, we are doing well. Why you always got to make us look like we're sapping the sun up in here? Come on. Nah, man, it's been great getting to know you, man. I just want to say, you know, without putting any details out there at all, congratulations on everything in your life, man. You deserve it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So, people, we are here to get into a movie review. And folks, as I said, there are many perks to subscribing here on our Twitch channel. One of them is not having to have your stream disrupted by commercials you're forced to play by Mr. Twitch like this. And look at you, those who have subscribed, you're still here like nothing ever happened. And we're going to
get... You can laugh at those other people.
Yeah. When they come back, just point your fang at them and tell them how stupid they look. No, don't do that, everybody. They're people, too. And so, anyway, we brought Chris on so that we could talk about... Martin, this movie is so big.
How big is it?
It's so big, Martin, that we couldn't do it by ourselves. We had to bring on one of the biggest critics out there, Chris Stuckman, to help us out. We're talking about Godzilla versus Kong. Not King. Godzilla said, you got to go through my ass to get that crown. Your bitch ass. No,
it's people, the fight for the title.
It's the fight of the century that's going on. People are looking forward to this fake-ass gorilla and this lizard. they're looking forward to them fighting more than real people.
Sure.
I know people who are looking forward to Tyson fighting like this.
It's less of a fix to fight, for one.
Yeah. You know what? It is a more real fight with this fake-ass gorilla and this lizard up here. I didn't watch your review, Chris, because I didn't want to know what you said or anything. I want this. Now, people probably already seen your video, but feel free to like act like this is a new review for you.
Okay.
If you can. Yeah, but people have been waiting for a while for this. Promoters have been trying to get this together for years.
Don King died before he could make it happen.
Before he could do it, Dana White been trying to get people be, and somebody finally made it happen. Has it been worth the wait? We're going to talk about that. You probably already heard some reviews out there. Some people are saying that it's getting mixed favorable.
Right.
That's a thing.
That's what I saw.
Yeah. I'm not going to say what Chris thought about this yet, but what we are going to do is we're going to take a look at the trailer that you've seen a million times already, but you're going to see it one more time to refresh you real quick, and then we'll come back with all of our reviews.
This is our only chance. We have to take it. We need Kong. The world needs him. To stop what's coming. And this child. She's the only one he'll communicate with.
I knew that they had a bond. She had nowhere to go, so I made a promise to protect her. And I think that in some way, Kong did the same.
No shit.
I like the way she said, it's Godzilla.
I was thinking the same shit.
And Kong said, I don't give a fuck. Bitch, I don't care who you are. Well, that never gets old.
It doesn't. Get off my ship.
These are dangerous times. Godzilla's out there and he's hurting people and we don't know why.
There's something provoking him that we're not seeing here.
I'm of the same opinion.
The myths are real. There was a war. And they're the last ones standing.
I keep reaching for greatness because I'm built from it.
Who bows to who?
Nobody gonna stop for me. Here we
go. Kong bows to no one. Here we go.
You know what, people? Let me just say this. Yes. I know Kong bows to nobody. I know who this movie belongs to. This movie don't belong to people.
No.
It belongs to pixels. Pixels shaped like a gorilla and a giant ass iguana. But I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm going to let you guys come in when I bring this point up. I have to say that this time around, I do like some of the humans better. I feel like... I feel like the people here, at least they have more heart. The movie is almost cheating with it. I mean, come on, they got a deaf orphan, not just a deaf child, a deaf orphan up in here. Sit up here just sign language and the whole time, my mom and daddy died. Who gonna take care of me? You know, I'm like, man, they got me with that, man. Rebecca Hall plays the girl's adoptive mother. I don't know the young actress's name, but Rebecca Hall plays the girl's adoptive mother, and she's also the scientist that has been studying Kong all these years, where they've been holding him in captivity in some big ass holodeck.
Sure.
looking like the Truman Show and shit. and Kong has just been like, he's been picking up trees and being like, man, fuck y'all, I see y'all looking at me. And he's like, okay, we gotta do something with this dude.
Right? This is not gonna last.
We gotta find some place to put his big ass because he's going crazy. And you know, there's rumors of an ecosystem in the center of the earth that they think might be Kong's original home, or the home of his peoples.
Of all the Titans.
Of all the Titans. Yeah, that's where they all have come from. They found some hole and just bubbled up. And they're trying to get him there. And they're trying to get him there with this guy who is an expert on hollow earths, even though no one's ever seen one or anything. This dude is an expert on made-up lands, as far as anybody knows.
Well, then, you know what? To the credit... I mean, of this, he is a kind of discredited scientist.
Yeah,
he's like, yeah, I wrote this book that nobody bought but me.
Nobody bought. You know, Chris, I hear you over there. You got anything you want to add to this, man?
I'm sorry. It's just funny to think of him now. It's just like you're a very funny person.
Oh, no, thank you, man. That means a lot coming from you, seriously.
Like, I think that as I was watching the movie, I agree. I actually rewatched... the Godzilla behind me, the original, not the original, but you know, the original for this series yesterday. And while it's beautifully directed and there is no Godzilla in that movie, like really.
Such a diva, he couldn't show up for his own movie to the very end.
Yeah, he's just hanging on the trailer, you know. But
go back and watch my review of that movie. I'm fanboying out like crazy, but watching it like all these years later, he's not in the movie. He's in the movie once for the first hour and then at the very end. And it was kind of mind boggling to have watched this one, Godzilla versus Kong, and then go back and watch Gareth Edwards' Godzilla, because with this one, Adam Wingard, he was just like, humans are in the movie because they have to be. But for the most part, let's just have the monsters people want to see. And that satisfied me. That really, I don't know. I mean, it's called Godzilla versus Kong, and it kind of gave me what I wanted.
I that's the thing. I think it strikes a good balance with the humans, in as much as they're mostly there for exposition or to move this, you know, what story there is along. Nobody's there to see them. They weren't annoying, so that's good enough.
No, they, well, you know, they, you know what? they weren't annoying, the ones I'm looking at right here. Uh-huh. And well, I'm going to tell you, because between Rebecca Hall, this young girl, and Alexander Skarsgård as the researcher that's trying to find the hollow earth, I thought that they made a good team. And the reason why is because all of them have a relationship with Kong.
Right.
And the reason why I think that that's important is because Kong raises this movie to an emotional level. It's cool having a creature in here that's more than just a force of nature.
Well, you know, he's relatable because he's a primate. So
yeah, he's a big primate, but he's able to show emotions.
He can emote, yeah.
Yeah, he's able to show emotions there, which makes him more of a character. You know, there are moments in the movie where I think they do a good job at actually getting you through all these levels of emotion with Kong. You know, respect, fear of him. But I'm glad that they were able to make you even feel sorry for him. Mm-hmm.
Come on, you were thinking it.
Yeah, everybody was thinking that. Shit, a little ass dead.
Like if he had just lost his balance a little bit. Yeah. Like, oh.
And even then, he would be like,
yeah.
That's delicious. Stupid.
I'm
sitting right here. I can hear you right now. Yeah, damn, I'll see y'all little ass down there. You know, oh yeah, also Kong knows sign language. Now, I think that's cool. I like it. I'm glad to know what's on Kong's mind. It humanizes him more. How he learned it might be just a little silly to me. And I will tell you why. Because you got this deaf little girl. Mm-hmm. She's been running her ass into the woods every day to play with this giant gorilla, unsupervised, I mind you.
And teach him sign language.
Well, a giant gorilla with 24-hour surveillance on him, teaching him sign language, and in the movie, people like, he know sign language? I'm like, you didn't see them big-ass black hands signing, making motions and shit? You mean you said nobody knew that she was teaching him sign language the whole time?
They thought he was throwing gang signs.
Even then, it's just kind of like, well, where's his fucking gang, you know? Yo, what's up? What's up? You know, it's like, yeah, there was a moment where somebody in the movie say, the monkey knows sign language. I'm like, y'all the one been looking at him. Y'all didn't see this chick out here. And why is she going out there playing this gorilla with nobody watching her?
Yeah.
I'm not, listen, it's not bringing the movie down for me.
Okay, I was just like, I mean, sure, it's a pertinent question. It's just that some of these are, I had to go like, I'm looking at a giant gorilla and a giant lizard. I gotta let some shit
big
go.
Big ass gorilla out there had Tourette's and shit throwing up air words. And y'all didn't see, nobody saw that. But that's where we get into how we can approach this movie and look at it. Yeah. I hope I'm not nitpicking too much there, Chris. I hope it's not coming.
No, not at all. No. I mean, like, for me, when I saw this movie, I thought this was like, it reminded me of an early 2000s movie, like a film that like came out in 2003. Like if I was pitching this movie, I would have been like, it's The Core with King Kong in it.
You're right. That is good. Because I had that vibe, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
That is perfect. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool. It like goes with what you were saying about how Kong is used like as an actual character in this movie. He's not just like a monster that appears every once in a while. He's actually part of he's integral to their mission because they need him to lead them down there. And so it makes it less of like he just comes out of the trees and does something cool every 20 minutes. And he's actually part of the story and you need him for the story, which sort of helps with, you know, a lot of those issues you heard from people from the first few movies in this series of, I don't know, the humans don't really need to be here, but they do. And the monsters mm-hmm. are what we're really here to see. Mm-hmm. So kind of like weaving them together into the same plot really helped.
Yeah, no, I see that. Well, listen, that's where we really get down to how you're going to accept this movie or not.
Sure.
Because you're probably going to have a lot of questions. When I say a lot of questions, you're going to have many 10 minutes into the movie. I mean, and this is, people, this is not the movie to have questions. If you got questions,
no.
Don't even put them aside. Throw that shit in the trash.
I mean, I tell people, look, the science here. I mean, fortunately, they keep the movie light and moving and full of humor. Because if it stops, you start to go like, hold on. If this is going to fall apart. The science is wonky. That whole Hollow Earth, that was something that from the back in the days of H.G. Wells.
Yeah, exactly. But back when people were dumber.
But sure, let's just go with it.
Yeah, let's just go with it, people, because the movie's going to tell you, don't come in here and ask me nothing, because I got no answers mm-hmm. for you. I have answers. They don't make no sense.
No, if you have questions, write them down, and we'll address them when the movie's done. Let's see that sheet of questions. All right. Whoosh.
Oh, shit.
Goodbye.
I had to take a shit. Thank you. wipe my ass with quick people. This the science, if you want to call it that, is complete and utter nonsense. And I know people, I understand. Don't come in here looking for real stuff. This ain't no documentary.
It's not.
This movie's telling you we're not smart. We know it.
Yeah.
We be dumb.
It's like, weren't you here for the giant monsters?
Yeah, exactly, man.
Because we got that.
I appreciate them trying to give explanations for things. At least I appreciate that. They are trying to at least explain
something. It's enough for you to have a reason to know, like, okay, these are the goals. And this is what I'm rooting for and what they're trying to accomplish.
But the more they explain things in these movies, the dumber it gets. You know, it really does. It's, you know, it even makes the dialogue dumb. Because what they do is they just make up shit as they go along. Like, there's a part in the movie where they're getting attacked on this ship, and they just try something that somebody just takes a complete and utter guess at. They pull this thing right out their ass. And one dude on the ship, got to be that guy, looking at everybody, this better work. And it's like, wait, what if it don't?
I know. Plus that thing, I was like, huh, to communicate with all these ships to do that? I bet that would take a long time.
It would all over coordinate in a second. And he goes,
say,
this better work. And they're like, what, you going to whoop somebody's ass? And what if it don't work? You going to die just like everybody else. We all hope it works. Shut up. You have to say that to us.
A friend I watched it with had the same problem. He was like, how did they figure out to do, no spoilers, but how did they do all that thing at the exact same time? How did they figure that out? And it's funny because apparently I was just oblivious, or I had a lot of popcorn in my mouth at the time, but it didn't bother me. Like, but you guys and my friend are all like, that is stupid. And I guess it kind of is stupid. I guess it just was one of those things that I was like, oh, that's something they could have done. And now I feel dumb.
No, Chris, don't feel dumb, because this is the movie that will do things like that. I can tell you this, that in a serious movie, when they do something like that, I throw down the bullshit flag and I want to stop the play. But with this, it's like, all right, fine, just keep going.
Stop.
I don't care. It's fine. Just keep it moving.
They know. Some of these cities, the only complaint I have about it, because I'm not worried about this doing some dumb things. The only thing I have a complaint about, even slightly complaint, is that, you know, some of this shit is so stupid that it'd be better off if you even say nothing. Because they do things, they put theories that are untested, you know, to work, and they just do stuff.
Yeah.
They just make shit up. There's people figure things out on the spot. Now, that's a trope that I don't like, where people are like, oh, I'm looking at this, so it must be this. And if it's this, it must be that. And it's like, you're the fucking janitor. How did you figure all this out? And
Well, especially since most of the time when you're in a panic mode and you're trying to figure something out, you can't think, let alone have everything hyper come to you in a second. But,
and I might be exaggerating with a janitor, but it's people who have not been in this area before.
Yeah.
And they're just thinking, well, from my limited knowledge of reading shit, is this and that combined with this? Oh, shit, man, we in trouble. It was like, oh, hell, man. You know, just why, you know, nobody wants to hear that shit. Just put you in the middle of some monsters and run.
It's a trope.
It's a trope. I know.
Even good movies have it.
But I will tell you this: if anything, if stupidity, dumb shit helps out anything in this movie, it keeps things moving along.
It keeps it moving.
It keeps things moving along.
It gets you to what you came here for.
That is not always a bad thing. They say, you know what, anything to just keep the movie moving. If we got to pull some information out of our ass and it makes no sense, we just had to keep going. And that's not always a bad thing. This definitely gets to the action quicker than those last two movies. When I said the Godzilla movies, that is. You know, y'all been talking about these movies being too slow, not enough monsters in them. Well, they said, all right, we hear you. Because they send in Godzilla early to start shit with King Kong. All these movies always got that dude. They give him the dumbest death. They make him always sound stupid before he dies. No, wait a minute. They always got that one dude who they make just sound completely like an idiot before he died, like a bitch.
Yeah, and they're always calling for Delta.
And I was like, yeah.
It's always Delta.
Either Delta or Alpha. Alpha, and he's like, ah, shut up!
I always think of Porkins from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, have you ever seen, like, the memes of him, like, holding fast food? He's like, I can't hold it! Ah!
Yeah. And they always do the same scream. I'm like, ah! Delta killing! I can't hold it any longer! Man.
Well, even before we even get to the first bout.
Well, hold on, because I want to get to this, because I love this. I like the way Godzilla just really, people, you're asking, man, what were they fighting for? Godzilla just don't like that bitch.
He doesn't.
He just shows up out of nowhere to start shit.
He's a troublemaker.
Yeah. Love that music. King Kong, like, he's confused, like, man, what the fuck did I do?
Right.
I don't even know you, man.
I heard you was telling people you the king.
Yeah.
Man, I ain't say nothing.
Thank you, run these streets, huh? Bitch, I heard what you said. Oh, but you got me confused. I like that they got people. Okay, I'm gonna pass this on to y'all. But let me just say this, because everybody thinks that Corey nitpicking. Corey just can't get with the program. I see y'all in the chat, man. Corey just can't let nobody have nice things, man. Let me tell y'all something. Let me cut to the real shit with y'all, and then I'm gonna pass this on to everybody. As stupid as I've been saying this movie gets, as crazy as it gets, as fake as King Kong's fur looks sometimes. Sometimes his fur looks like Muppet hair, just floating a lot. As laugh out loud silly as this movie is, people, no big spoilers here, but they do have a Batman, Superman, Martha moment in here. It's almost like, does Warner Brothers just require this now? Did Zack Snyder guest direct this right here? They actually have a Superman, Batman, Martha moment in here. But I'd be lying if I said that this shit did not deliver. And I'm going to give this movie, I'm going to give it probably the best marketing that someone can give it. I'm going to give it probably some of the most genuinely honest and great praise that you can give a movie of this type. It was late last night when I was watching this movie. You know, we got the screening late. I did a show last night.
Yeah.
I didn't watch, Chris, I didn't start watching this until 2 in the morning.
Oh, really?
So about 1:30. Wow. 1:30 in the morning.
I flicked it on as soon as the sun went down.
Yeah, well, I had to do a show, so I said 1:30, I got time to watch a little bit of this. Mm-hmm. So, people, I cut this movie on, watched it, and then got to a point where I said, you know what, man? It's getting late. I'm going to finish some of this tomorrow. Finish the rest of it tomorrow. I'm going to take a shower. And also, I'm going to be honest with y'all, I'm going to take a shit. And I said, well, you know what? While I'm taking a shit, I can just go ahead and watch just a little bit more of this.
Yeah.
What else I got to do? So I sat there. I sat in that toilet. I did my business. And I'll be damn right, when I was finished, the movie started getting to the part where they start amping up the climax and the conflict between Kong and Godzilla. And my black ass sat on that toilet for 35 minutes watching the rest of this movie right here because I was hooked.
Yeah.
Because I was into it. Because they finally started building it up. It was dumb, but I was like, man, this ramp up, this climax, that is badass. And I got to tell you something. There were moments in the movie here, people, when they finally got to the parts where Godzilla and Kong start going at it, it was one part in that scene where, I swear to God, I jumped up off that toilet seat, pants around my ankles, ass and dick hanging out, and I said, yes! And I was like, my God, I sat up here on a toilet, not shitting, into this movie and loving those last minutes of it, man.
Sure.
That was, the movie, I think, for the right people that want to come in and see this big match between Godzilla and King Kong, if that's all you want to see, then goddamn it, that's what they gave you.
Yeah, it's rare that a movie can deliver so big on what it promises.
Somebody said Corey didn't even wipe. I was about to get in the shower.
Yeah,
I didn't even
wipe. Yeah, who wipes anymore? Yeah, yeah.
About to get into my bidet. But I'll elaborate in a little while, but I want to get, how did y'all feel about what was supposed to be the main part of the movie? Chris, you know, you're the guest.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, how'd you feel about the fight and everything? And just tell me anything you want to tell me about this, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, I had a lot of the same problems you had, honestly. The story is rather incomprehensible. It's one of those plots where characters say, this is our plan, and they say it as quick as possible, and the dialogue has officially now been relayed to the audience, so you might as well move the fuck on, right? But yeah, I didn't understand anything they said, though. So, like, I get it. Like, in regards to, like, what they're supposed to be doing, finding this hollow earth, he apparently wrote a book about it that was a joke to people. And so, you know, these are all plot points that are important for the character, but nothing that I particularly cared about. I just, every time, you know, for me, like, the heart and soul of the movie was the little girl and Kong, and how that was the first time I actually sort of cared about a person, except for Bryan Cranston in the first one. Mm-hmm. In these movies, because they did a really good job of actually connecting a character with one of the Titans and not having it seem like it was just like a soldier or a family man or, you know, just something we've seen a lot. So, yeah, the core with King Kong, whatever. But, like, Kong and Godzilla were in the movie and a lot. The characters did not annoy me too much. I will say that two of the more comic relief characters kind of canceled each other out a little bit, because I thought Brian Tyree Henry as a podcast, like a conspiratorial podcast host, I thought he was really funny. But then Julian Dennison, who I usually like, was also sort of like comic relief. And it was sort of like two comic relief characters on the same mission with Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
And sometimes they canceled each other out. And I'm just talking purely as characters, as they might have been on the page in the script. It seemed like two comic relief characters for the same, like, mission, and it wasn't really necessary. Mm-hmm. But these are just, like, again, to me, these are nitpicks for myself. Like, I watched the movie on a 77-inch screen in my basement. Loved it. I hope that I can see it in theaters at some point, or, you know, at least I'll get the Blu-ray in the future, but yeah, it really was really entertaining for me where it needed to be. And it kind of reminded me of that movie that I would have seen back when I was a teenager and just went to school and told all my friends, this is fucking awesome. You should go see it. I don't get those experiences as much anymore ever since mm-hmm. everything had to be dark and gritty, mm. you know? And every once in a while, it's really nice to see a film like this that kind of just knows what it is and doesn't reach beyond that and just gives you what you need.
Yeah, man. You know, I definitely, you said it, man. This is something to, this really is something to see in the theaters, man. I feel bad for Warner Brothers not being able to show this in theaters because
well,
I can imagine.
Well, it's in theaters.
Well, it's in theaters, but it's like $30 to go see it or something. This would have been great on IMAX.
Sure.
To see, I almost want to go see it on IMAX.
Yeah, that'd be a, it's one of those movies that would deserve that.
It really is, man. Listen, y'all, the way that I can really describe this movie, because listen, I'm not a Godzilla expert. I'm not the person to go to tell you all the Godzilla trivia, but I did grow up with Godzilla. I love Godzilla. I had Godzilla toys, love King Kong coming up. And I can tell you the way you have to go approach this movie, you have to just accept that this is just one of those goofy Godzilla movies from the 60s with a Transformers budget. I'm fucked up now. Yeah, you didn't know me, bitch, did you? Look at all this bleeding right here. You know, that is that's Mechagodzilla from the 60s, man. And those Godzilla movies from the 60s where Godzilla was sometimes a hero and he was saving Earth and they were, you know, the dude in the rubber suit thing. This is what I dreamed of as a kid when I saw the dude
when
the
you saw
suit.
Those movies, the rubber suit movies, in your head. This new movie is what you imagined.
When I saw this kind of
stuff. Your brain added the special effects.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the throwback to those films right there. You know, this is what I wanted to see. These movies, they were great, but I was using my imagination to make them look like they look now.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I say they got Transformers budget or, you know, they got any kind of blockbuster budget these days, man. Except, to be honest with you, they're just not nearly as dumb as a Transformers movie.
No.
Not nearly
what
at all.
What is, though?
Exactly. But nah, man, if you look at it that way, it's still not going to sell everybody on this. But if you watch it that way, this is a very nostalgic homage to those movies.
Yeah.
And I loved it for that.
No, I'm right there. Like something Chris said, how it's, you know, it delivers on what it's trying to be. It's not overreaching. And I appreciate that because, yeah, it like some of the other movies really try to get into the science. And it's like, stop doing that.
Yeah.
Or it's not trying to be a disaster movie. It's not trying to be a message movie about the nuclear, you know, not handling nukes well and all of that. This is just a big monster movie fight, which I think after the previous movies, this is what everybody's been saying they want.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come and complain about it, I guess you can go fuck yourself because you clearly don't know what you want because this is what everybody's been saying they want.
This is what everybody's been saying they want.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, sure, the human characters, for the most part, aren't deep. And I do agree about having too many comedy reliefs. And yeah, Julian Dennison was too much. As a matter of fact, yeah, you need a straight person and the comedy person, and you don't need somebody else going like, guys, I don't think we should do that. What's this now? It's like, we got enough avatars for the audience. That's enough already.
Yeah.
But it does lead them to the other part of the story, which takes over the third act, which I thought, okay, this is cool. This is something that brings a whole new element to it. And it's funny because there's something else in here where the quote unquote bad guy, I was like, he's not wrong in his motivation. Everybody's treating him like he is. But I was like, his reason for doing things, I get it. I can't blame him for it. But also, when we watch this trailer, I'm like, this is clearly the American trailer because it makes it look like Kong is dominating. And
well,
this,
we don't want to say.
I was going to say, right. The fight goes back and forth.
Yes.
And at times, they both get their asses handed to them.
Oh, they should do.
And it's bad. It's bad both times.
They should do. They just tired, too.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, man. I mean, I got to defend my crown, but God damn, one of them. I should want to give up.
Yeah. I mean, I'll keep fighting if you want to, but do we have to do this?
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I got to tell you, Brian Tyree Henry, I didn't like too much in the movie. Brian Tyree Henry in the movie, he made me say something that you should never say in a Godzilla or King Kong movie of this type. Can you be serious for just a moment? He was just clowning. What he did was he was that, he's that eccentric comedy relief. You know, he's a guy that has a podcast. He's a conspiracy guy. And all he does is kind of just, he just rambles. He just rambles, and everything he rambles is them trying to make him be funny. It's almost like he's even ad-libbing. I like Brian Tyree Henry. Nothing wrong with him. But it was just like, man, you know, you're just one mode here.
I liked him just fine.
Yeah.
And it didn't focus on him too much.
Yeah, I did
like
not.
They had a lot less screen time than the other group of people.
You and I are in disagreement on that one. I did not like him. I did not. It's not like and the rest of the people. Millie Bobby Brown and Julian Dennison, useless really. They're just there again. She's there
to bridge the gap to the last movie. Kyle Chandler was useless.
He's useless, and she's the only one. Because listen, you gotta have one person on Team Godzilla.
Yeah, right.
Everybody
right,
on Team
right,
Kong, you
right,
know, she gotta
right.
be the cheerleader.
Yeah,
might as well put pom poms in her fucking hands.
Yeah.
Hit a big G on a sweatshirt because she has nothing really to do in the movie but just take you to a certain facility. He's there just to give her a ride. She jacks his car, and he's just there to crack jokes. And it's the same tone of jokes he cracks in everything that he's in. I didn't like the character. I tell you, it doesn't help that all these characters, they do another trope where, and this is something I don't like in movies. You guys can tell me what you think about this, but I hate that trope of people sneaking into the supposedly well-guarded facility,
yeah.
and they just steadily just sneaking around. And I'm gonna tell you, Brian Tyree Henry and Julian Dennison, I ain't trying to body shame a number, them some big dudes, man. And if anything, you mean to tell me the soldiers can't see them? Because every time they duck, they just go into a corner, ass sticking halfway out, and the soldier's like, I ain't see shit. I'm just like, come on, man. I get tired of that trope up there, you know, just so easy to infiltrate at that time. You know, like I said, it was just there to bring you to this facility, and that was it. I tell you, the movie is a kid's movie. And that's really what it is, especially in these parts. These parts played out like an 80s kids film. It was almost like watching
true.
An Amblin movie
the fifth season of Stranger Things.
Yes, exactly. it was like somebody who was trying to do Spielberg, and people even did that back in the 80s,
right,
you know?
Right.
So that's what it felt like. The movie really is a kids film, but this one felt like a kids film to a fault when they got to these scenes with these guys. But, you know, and Damon Bashir, man, don't even start me on him, because he might as well just have villain written across a t-shirt.
Yeah, I actually forgot about him, and I didn't even mention him in my review. That's how it was a very forgettable just role that was there to press some buttons, basically, to create some anarchy.
He really was. He was forgettable, man. He was there just to say like about five villainous lines.
True.
And it was all, and as always, it comes down to when I take over. You know, that kind of the essence of that kind of speech.
I think Kyle Chandler was in the film because it creates the most interesting trivia ever, because he was in Peter Jackson's King Kong as well.
Oh,
so now he's
what? Really?
Yeah, yeah. Huh. So now he's part of like two Kong movies that are completely not related.
Why?
Wow, I did not know that, man.
Yeah, I missed that too.
And Kyle Chandler, I'm trying to find a picture of him in here. Kyle Chandler, you remember from the first movie. Damn, that's how little he is in the movie. You can't even find him in the trailer. He goes by so quick.
Yeah, he literally phones in all his scenes. Honey, where are you?
He really does.
he definitely cashed the paycheck.
Yeah, no, he sure did, man. But I tell you, man, really, like I said, I enjoyed this film. If you can't complain, man.
I do have one major complaint.
What's that?
I loved all the fighting and the scale, and I didn't even have a problem with how Kong looked. And it probably this because we just watched Kong Lives, so it lowered the bar quite a bit. I just didn't like that so much of it was in slow motion with them.
I guess that was them trying
to show
them with weight.
I know it's trying to show the size and all. That's you know what they do. But I was like, this is kind of a lot, and I would prefer it not to be so much slow motion.
You know what? I have a different problem with the fight scenes. Listen, the fight scenes are what it's all about. I love the fight scenes. I'm just, you know, and they're great, man. The fight scenes here are amazing. I just think that it's hard to root for either one of them when they're destroying the city and killing hundreds of people.
But that's what we love about.
But that's what we know. That's what we love about them. But I'm just kind of like, God damn, you're killing me. I know. Kong, I know you're trying to defend, but you actually are fucking up things more than you are helping.
Yeah. Well, that's why when people were like, no, Godzilla's a friend, I was like, my friends don't just kill lots of people. I don't know about yours.
Well, he kills to prevent killing.
So, right, you know, yeah, that justification.
I mean, I look at this, people, there's a part in the movie where, listen, y'all think it's Tokyo. No, it's Hong Kong. It's Hong Kong, China. Hong Kong is gone.
Oh, yeah, it's
gone. Hong Kong, if you had real estate, it ain't there no more.
No.
They leveled that fucking city, man. And then, like I said, it was just kind of rough to see. I really was cringing when I saw them, like, stepping on people. Because it's one of those movies. I have a problem in movies where it's nothing but destruction. It's the Superman thing.
Sure.
Nothing but destruction, and the movie just blows it off. Like, wasn't that cool? You know, so I was like, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that are still under Kong's feet right now.
A lot of red jelly on the bottom
exactly.
of his
He's
feet.
He's still got people between his toes and shit. So, you know, but the the fight scenes are amazing.
They are. They're everything you could want.
I mean, I was on the edge again to these movies where they fought in the cities.
Oh yeah,
tore them up.
And yeah, on a lot of them, I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, there was a slight missed opportunity, I thought, with the fight scenes. And I will say this without spoiling anything, but you guys know, like, we talked about the Hollow Earth place.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of like an area there where gravity's kind of messed up. And I would have loved to have seen them kind of fight there and get kind of trapped in that gravity.
Wow, that, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, Chris? That is true, man. That is a very much a missed opportunity.
In my review, I said it would have been like the Inception hallway fight where just like floating around and like flying on top of each other and, you know, like rolling around each other's bodies and stuff. It would have been great.
Yeah. The chat is talking about like a Dragon Ball Z fight. But no, yeah. I can see that, like the Inception fight. That's actually perfect. You know what? They should have done that. That's another thing that they talk about, how the Hollow Earth is at the center of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at it, it's about, I don't know, 20 stories below. Because King Kong gets back to the surface fast.
Real fast.
That motherfucker teleports.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, how the fuck did you get up this? I was like, when I tell you about questions.
Yeah, that was one out with me too. I was like, hey, but if it took, stop, don't do that.
Shit, ask another question, I dare you. But shut the fuck up.
Sorry, man.
You just get on with the fight.
It just happens. I see.
You know, there's a big reveal in the movie that is, listen, I had no problem with it really, because I already said this is crazy, this is dumb. But they had to have me laughing to themselves when they wrote that shit out about how a certain thing that happens here. You'll see it.
It's goofy, but I loved it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did too, honestly. I really did.
I can tell you right now, we're not talking about the same thing.
Oh, we're not.
Okay.
No,
okay.
Because when they explained it, it was stupid. When it happened, that shit made me laugh.
Okay.
All I'll say, you know what, y'all? Y'all know when you see the movie. I'll just give you a hint. Fuck you. You know it when you see it. Somebody talking that shit the whole time is like, yeah,
There is one part that made me laugh, and I don't, and again, I will do my best to avoid any kind of spoiler for people, but there's a close up of Godzilla in the movie, and I don't know what people will think of it, honestly. It's so weird. It's something that Adam Wingard would definitely do. But there's this part where Godzilla is really kind of kicking Kong's ass and he's kind of winning. And you get this close up of Godzilla's face and he just kind of makes this expression that was like really funny to me. And
I know what you're talking about.
I do too.
He looked confused. You know, it looked like he needed like, glasses at that moment. What the fuck?
I thought it was funny. I could see people being like, oh, that was out of character for my Godzilla.
Yeah. But, you know what it was like, Chris? It was like he got right up on Kong and he starts squinting. He's almost like, fuck, you the wrong guy. I'm sorry, man. Jesus, dude, my mistake, man. Yeah.
Here, let me buy you a meal across the street. Somebody run over and get us a two-piece.
I know the exact one you're talking about, Chris. That's funny, man.
I loved it.
Listen, what it comes down to, I don't want to. You think I'm talking about the movie bad? I am not. I'm not, y'all. I'm just gonna say this. I don't want to hear it from people. I really don't want to hear it. Y'all just saw that last Fast and Furious trailer and cheered this shit on. Y'all, I can't tell you how many people look at that dumb shit right there. It's like, that's stupid, but it's badass.
Yeah.
People, if you can look at a movie where two dudes pretty much turn into King Kong and Godzilla, then fuck you, man. There's no reason why you should look at a movie with a giant gorilla and a giant lizard and say, man, I don't know, that's kind of stupid. No, get the fuck out. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. If we're going to give Fast and Furious a pass, then we can't sit up here and complain about this film right here.
Sure. Yeah. No, I feel like so much of this is us trying to defend the fact that, like, yes, I know we're movie critics and critical thinkers, and yet it's okay to enjoy this at the same time. I don't want to keep apologizing for it. Yeah, it's goofy, it's dumb, but how else could you write a giant gorilla and fire-breathing lizard fighting and make that smart?
You can.
You can.
No, you can.
You can.
Yeah,
who's done it?
Oh, they did it with the first Godzilla movie.
Mm.
Yeah, the first Godzilla movie about the
oh, you mean the Raymond Burr one?
No, listen, Martin. You know this. Now I'm about to stop because I say this to everybody. If you take the time out and write something that you really want to make smart, you can. They didn't give a fuck. They said, man, we can get this money no matter what.
Mm.
They looked at this and said, ain't nobody going to give a fuck whether it's smart or not. We can get the money. You know, writing is always everything. There's no reason why you can't say that you can never do that, because if you sat your ass down.
Well, just every time they try to make it serious, it makes it worse.
Yeah, well, you just ain't got the right writer for it, because the studios are saying, we didn't get this shit out.
Yeah.
You know, like they know what brings people in.
I don't necessarily agree with that, because it has to be about the fighting. That's what everybody wants.
And you could still write something where you could write something smart and put the fighting in. Anything can be written to be anything.
Okay.
That's not an impossibility. To say, don't ever say ever. You said the Avengers would never happen. Mark, when you bringing that shit up,
oh,
man?
My God, not this again. That's always your break glass in case of emergency. I don't know what else to say, so Avengers, how about that?
I know. Here's Mark. Man, I'm tired of hearing that shit, yo. God damn you. I don't want to hear that no more. Why y'all got to bring up that old shit? No, man. Right, listen. Let's
squash it.
Let's squash this shit right here, because we let's not do this shit right here. It's black on black, because we agree probably.
I think we do.
Chris, we agree, I think.
Yeah. I don't know about this Avengers thing. I'll stay out of it.
Oh, Chris, I gotta tell you, man. I gotta tell Martin's like, don't do this shit. It was a long time ago.
It was like 13 years ago.
It was 13 years ago. It was something that we just laugh about every now and then. Martin, like, I don't. So Martin, man, you can find online. I mean, I just got to, can I tell him? I just got, it's
just
so,
tell
it's
him.
Fun. Martin, like, people talking about, man, I can't wait for all the Marvel characters to get together in a movie and be the Avengers. And Martin kept telling people, hey, you stupid asses, they're not going to do it. And people are like, well, yeah, they can. And I'm like, all right, now I got to go home and explain to y'all in this six-page manifesto right here. Martin wrote a document. He wrote a whole essay about why the Avengers would never happen. A week later, the Avengers was announced.
Okay.
Man, I just love that, because it's just funny. Oh, by the way, you got to stop killing people, man. Everybody says Don King ain't dead yet. He should be.
Is he not dead?
He Martin, he probably should be. I agree
oh
with that.
God.
But he's, boy, you be killing people, man.
Yes, I do.
Martin's going in the rooms with pillows and shit.
I gotta get TMZ on him. So I'm like, yeah, I fucked up. I said it, so you gotta take care of this.
You
now.
Gotta work for TMZ, man. Nah, man, but I think that we I think we all agree. You know, I would say that for me. I know we disagree on this too. You didn't like this as much as I did, but I like Skull Island. I know some people who don't. And that's cool, man. But for me, Skull Island is still the best out of these. And this movie takes the takes Skull Island and kind of combines it for me. Now, this is for me because it's not going to be for everybody, but combines it with some of the weakest moments of the Godzilla movies, and it comes out with what we have here. But I still like this enough to give this a very strong matinee. This was very enjoyable. I want to go see this. I'm going to watch it again, probably when I take another shit, and I'm going to watch this. And I'm going to go watch this in IMAX, I think, once I get my other shot. Because, mm-hmm. This is something where that's what it really benefits from, is sure. on a big screen. Chris, can I let Chris?
Yeah.
Chris, I should have let you go before even me. But Chris, go ahead. Chris, man. I'll let you have the last word. I'll let Martin go and let you have the last word here.
Okay. Like I said, the biggest thing that bothered me was that I felt like there was too much slow motion. But I might be extra sensitive after 4 hours of Justice League. But beyond that, this was better than I thought. This is the best of the Godzilla King Kong movies by far. Certainly the most enjoyable, the one that keeps going, that has the fights that had me actually caring about what happened. It wasn't as much as it played on the, as much as the others were like, hey, here's those characters you loved when you were a kid. Watching them, I'm like, yeah, they look like them. They're sort of like them, but it's not giving me that feeling. Mm-hmm. And this is. I think this movie does exactly what it was designed to do. And unless, you know, if you're not a fan, there's no reason for you to see this. Somebody mm-hmm. who's a big fan could possibly rate this as a full price movie. For me, like you, it's more of a very high matinee.
Yeah, yeah. Chris Stuckman, man, take all the time you need and get the last word here, man.
Yeah, I mean, I went in with fairly moderate expectations. I enjoyed the first Godzilla, but it's definitely kind of gone down for me over the past few years. Thought Skull Island was kind of, and thought King of Monsters was worse. But I do like Adam Wingard a lot, and I think that he's really talented, and I wanted to see like what his take on it was, and I think he basically gave me what I wanted, which was a movie that it was like what might have been good about Roland Emmerich's Godzilla in theory.
I see that. I see that after just rewatching it. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, that's a lot of fish, like a lot of scenes like that, you know, but actually kind of they did an okay job at it. And it gave me what I wanted from all the fight scenes. They were, you know, I was a happy little boy. I loved watching King Kong versus Godzilla when I was a kid. I had the VHS tape and I must have watched that every day for like a good year when I was in elementary school. And that little boy was very happy while watching this movie, and it gave me what I needed. Yeah, the human stuff was not as bad as before. This is the shortest movie in the series so far, and so that I don't know if all the delays they had in the release and with the pandemic gave them the chance to tighten the edit, but if that helped, good. Because I remember like a year ago, a buddy of mine told me he saw a rough cut and he was like, I don't know, man. And I was like, well, I'll just wait to see the rest when it comes out. And so, but then it got pushed back. And so it's possible that they just took the pandemic and everything to really tighten it up. And because it was paced well, there was just enough of the story for me to get attached, the bare basics, the minimum of what I needed. And yeah, like the fights were incredible. So I gave it a B on my channel, and I'll stand by that.
Okay. What would, you know, this, I definitely want you to go by your rating on your channel right there. You gave it a B. Somebody said you gave it a B+. Is that true? Or is it just a B?
No, it was a B.
B.
And I would say that I think a matinee is where I'm at with you guys. A good matinee.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're all there at the go. Same.
Well, somebody's in the chat going off. They full price.
Someone was like, oh, he gave it a B+. I know. It was in my brain.
You were the last hope for one dude, man. One dude was looking at it like, full price, you fucking cowards. You broke him, man. You were the last one, man. No. You were the last one, Chris.
Let me just make sure I have tell me really quick a quick summation of your system so I said the right thing. Because I thought matinee was like your B range.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, okay. Matinee is right there, man, with that. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, that dude was pissed. So people, let's go ahead and take a look. Chris, you broke this man. You were his last hope. God damn, I'm you sorry. Stockman!
To you kind person watching, I'm sorry, but you can still watch the movie.
You created a super villain, man, right at this moment right here.
Stockman!
So, Chris, what we did was we took a poll right before we started the review so that people could see what we were going to give this. We had people use their channel points. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up the poll and see what people predicted. And let's see here. Let me go. View results. There we go, folks. And people know us very well. Mm. These people have been with us a long time. 43% out of almost 2,000 votes said matinee.
What's that one that's so close by it?
Some old bullshit. Oh, wow. Full Price was third. And Rental was fourth. And Better Than Sex was fifth and had 1% of the vote right there.
Wow.
Yeah. So you know us very well, people. Good job. Good job on that.